أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Lesson number 43, Surah Ali Imran. We will begin from Ayah 39. فنادته الملائكة. Then the angels called him. Meaning the angels called Zakariya alayhi salam. And نادته is feminine for the angels. Why? Because الملائكة ends with a تاء مربوطة. And remember, a word that ends with a ta marbuta is a feminine. Some words are feminine, why? Because they have a masculine counterpart. You have a girl and you have a boy. You have a mu'min, you have a mu'mina. Then there are other types of feminine which are, they don't have a masculine counterpart, but because they end with a particular sign, with a particular letter, that makes them a feminine word. So al-mala'ika ends with a Tamabuta, which is one of those signs that indicate a feminine word, although there is nothing feminine about that. So Nadathu is feminine because it is Al-Malaika. Other scholars have also said that for Al-Malaika, sometimes you see the masculine pronoun being used in the Quran. You do see the masculine pronoun being used for the angels. It's not always feminine. So when it is feminine, it is because the context is about the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Unsa, from Hamza, Nunsa, feminine, it gives a meaning of that which is very gentle and delicate and docile. And feminine gives a sense of mercy and softness and affectionate. So feminine is used, why? Because the context speaks about the mercy of Allah. It's not always the case, but generally. So over here, because the angels are giving him the good news of the birth of his child, it is the context of the mention of the special mercy of Allah. Therefore it is نادته الملائكة. And ملائكة actually refers to only angel Jibreel, but the plural has been used for the purpose of تعظيم. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ. While Zakariya alayhi salam was standing and praying in the mihrab. What did the angel say? That أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ. Allah gives you the good news of بِيَحْيَا, of يَحْيَا. Meaning of a son whose name is going to be يَحْيَا. Now يَحْيَا is from the root letters ha, ya, ya, from the word hayat. And what does hayat mean? Life. Like we read elsewhere in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. So yahya, it's from hayat, which means life. And literally, the word yahya would mean he lives. He has hayat. Now why is he given this name? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled his life with faith. He lived a life of Iman. And as we know that Iman is life. And Kufr is death. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. The one who was dead and we gave him life. Meaning the one who did not have Iman and we gave him life. So Yahya alayhi salam lived a life of Iman. So Allah filled his life with the life of Iman. Others have said that he was given the name Yahya because he was born to who? An old man and an old woman. A woman who had never given birth. And a man who did not have any children. So both of them did not have any children. So the one who cannot produce anything, what is it? It's dead. Anything that cannot produce anything further, what is it? It's dead. So both the man and the woman, both Zakariya alayhi salam and his wife, did not have any children, and they gave birth to who? Yahya alayhi salam. So he filled their life with life. He brought life to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought life to them through Yahya alayhi salam. So أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. Others have also said that he was given the name Yahya because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the life of not just Iman, but also ilm and hikmah, knowledge and wisdom. Because it's truly knowledge and wisdom that make a person alive. Because a person who does not have ilm, does not have beneficial knowledge, does not have wisdom, what kind of a life is he living? A life that is meaningless. A life that is purposeless. How is he different from any other creation? How is he different from a tree or an animal? So أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا. Yahya alayhi salam was given this name because of these reasons. مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Yahya alayhi salam, what is his characteristic? What are his qualities? First of all, He will confirm the kalima of Allah. What is kalima? Statement, word, speech. And kalimati min Allah is understood in two ways. What is the first meaning? It refers to Isa alayhi salam. Why is Isa alayhi salam called kalimati min Allah? Because he was created by the kalima of Allah. Normally, human beings are born how? Through a mother and a father. But Isa alayhi salam's birth was different. He was only created through a mother. He did not have a father. So, how come he was created? By the kalima of Allah. Allah said, kun. Kun was the kalima, and Isa alayhi salam was created. So, kalimatu min Allah means Isa alayhi salam. And secondly, what does kalimatu min Allah mean? The scriptures. So, Yahya alayhi salam is going to confirm, meaning he is going to support Isa alayhi salam. And Yahya alayhi salam is also going to confirm the scriptures. So first of all, his characteristic is مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. We learn about the dua of Zakariya a.s. in Surah Maryam also. In Surah Maryam, very beautifully the story has been mentioned. And over there we learn that Zakariya a.s. made the dua وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا, that, O my Lord, make this son of mine, meaning when he prayed for a son, he said, O my Lord, make him radiyah, meaning make him someone who is pleasing to you. Over here we see the dua, dhurriyatan tayyibatan. So look at the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. Look what he's asking for. Not just a beautiful child, not just a healthy child, but dhurriyah, that is tayyibah, and waj'alhu rabbi radiyah, make him such that you are pleased with him. Because at the end of the day, if a person has everything in this world, but if he does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what good is he? So وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا. And we see that the du'as that Zakariya alayhi salam made, they were so beautiful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also accepted his du'a, and he granted him more than what he asked for. Zakariya alayhi salam just asked for وَجَعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيًّا, and he said ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبًا. In Surah Maryam ayah 12 we learn وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيًّا, and we gave him judgment while he was still a young boy. Meaning Yahya alayhi salam was given sound judgment while he was still a little child. وَسَيِّدًا, another quality of Yahya alayhi salam, that he will also be a Sayyid. And what's the meaning of Sayyid? One who is a leader. Someone who has a following. And with regards to the characteristic Sayyid, many scholars have given different meanings of this word Sayyid. For instance, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Sayyid is Al-Kareem ala Rabbihi, meaning one who is honored by his Lord. One who is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is honorable in the sight of Allah. Because such a person is truly a Sayyid. Who is Sayyid? Leader, someone who is respected, someone who is honored. Okay, there could be a person who is respected by many people, but if he is not honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is his value? Nothing. And why was he given this quality Sayyid? Because he was also given Hayat. Which Hayat? Of Iman, of Ilm, of Amal. So, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Sayyid means Al-Kareem ala Rabbihi. Others have said that Sayyid means Al-Haleem. What does Haleem mean? Someone who is very tolerant, very forbearing. Others have said that it means Taqi, meaning someone who has a lot of Taqwa, very pious. Then it has also been said that Sayyid means Al-Faqih, meaning someone who has the understanding of their religion. So he didn't just have ilm, but he also had the understanding of religion. Al-Alim, scholar. Because a person who has ilm, a person who understands the deen of Allah, such a person is truly the leader of people. Such a person really is respected by others. Also others have said that Sayyid is Al-Hasanul Khalq, meaning one who has beautiful character. Because someone who has a very good character, someone who behaves well with other people, then obviously other people respect him. So if someone has good character, other people are going to respect him. Other people are going to look up to him. So he was Sayyid. Why? Because he was of Al-Hasanul Khalq. Then it has also been said that Sayyid means Al-Sharif, meaning someone who is very noble. So he was a very noble man, a very noble person. In his behavior, in his mannerism, he was very pious, he was very noble, and he was also very Haleem, someone who does not get overcome by his anger. Another quality of Yahya alayhi salam, and what was that? Wahasura, and someone who is very chaste. What does it mean by hasur? One who stops himself a lot, one who has immense self-control. So for a man, hasur means that someone who stays away from women. What does it mean by this? That he did not indulge himself in fulfilling his sexual desires. Rather, he abstained from these things. And it wasn't just physical sexual desires that he abstained from. Rather, he also stayed away from committing sins. So hasur does not just mean someone who imprisons himself and does not indulge in the fulfillment of sexual desires, but also from fulfilling other desires. وَنَبِيًّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and he was also a prophet from among the righteous ones. He will also be a prophet from among the righteous ones. So Zakariya alayhi salam made a dua for ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you're not just going to have a ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً, but rather your son, your child, is going to have all of these characteristics. And knowing that your child is going to be a prophet, knowing that your child is going to be very chaste, حَصُور, سَيِّد. Just imagine, if a parent is told when their child is born that your child is going to become the president, he's going to become the leader. Imagine the feelings of such a parent. So proud, so happy, so excited, can't wait for the child to grow up. So just imagine the good news that Zakariya alayhi salam was given. Look at the manner in which he made dua. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua. That he didn't just give him what he asked for, but he also gave him good news. Qala, he said. Who said? Zakariya alayhi salam said, Rabbi, O my Lord, anna yakunu li ghulam. How can I have a ghulam? How can I have a son? Now look, Zakariya alayhi salam made a dua himself first. And now when he's told you're going to have a son, he asks, how can I have a son? وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرِ, and I have reached old age. وَامْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ, and my wife is an old woman. How can I have a son? Now why is he asking this? Does he doubt? Is he doubting? No. Then what is this? This is just confirmation. Because logically, it doesn't make sense. In the sense that logically, it doesn't seem possible. Logically, it seems very unrealistic. I have become extremely old, and my wife is barren. She's never given birth to any child. How? How will it be? Meaning, kaifa. How is it going to happen? So he's not saying it out of shak, but he is saying this in order to gain confirmation. Because he believes that Allah can give, which is why he prayed with so much certainty, with so much conviction. If he didn't have conviction, he wouldn't have made dua. He had conviction. So when Allah tells him, he's just wondering how it's going to be. Just as Ibrahim alayhi salam, early in Surah Al-Baqarah, we learned that he said, Rabbi, arini kaifa tuhyil mawta. Show me, how are you going to bring life to the dead ones? What did Allah say? Awalam tu'min, don't you believe? He said, bala, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. Of course I believe, but I would like to know further so that I can have the contentment of the heart. I can be sure. I can be satisfied. So similarly, Zakariya alayhi salam asked as well that how will it be? Because realistically, it doesn't seem possible. Or logically, it doesn't seem possible. I'm very old and my wife is barren. How is it going to be? So it's just for the sake of gaining contentment of the heart. Now the word ghulam is from the root letters ghain lam mim. And ghulam is used for a young boy, a youth. And the word ghulam is also used for a slave. But primarily the word ghulam is used for a young boy. And why is it used for a slave? Because obviously people would prefer to buy slaves who were of this age. Boys and young. Why young? Because in this age, they have more physical ability. They can run back and forth. They don't get tired as quickly. They also listen easily. The more children grow older, the more they want to make their own decisions themselves. They don't like to be told as to what to do. And also the best age of serving other people is when we're still young. Remember that. We say, when I'll grow older, then I will serve others. But the fact is that when we are young, we have more ability, we have more free time, we don't have as many responsibilities, therefore it is much easier to serve other people. it is much easier to help out other people. For example, there is a girl. She's not married. She's still very young. She has free time to herself. She can easily help out other people. When she's going to get married, then she has to be with her husband, listen to her husband. And when she has her children, she has to look after her children. And even if she wants to help out other people, she's not able to. Even if she wishes to do so, she's not able to. The older a person gets, the lesser the chances are. So the best age of serving others, of helping others, is the age of ghuluma. Ghain la mim, from the word ghulam. So anna yakunu li ghulam. Why does he say ghulam? Because ghulam is not an infant. It's not used for a baby. It's used for someone who's about 13, 14, in their teens. So why is the word ghulam used? To show that he will reach this age. So anna yakunu li ghulam, wa qad balaghani al-kibr, and kibr has reached me, meaning I have become very old. What does kibr mean? Kibr is from the root letters kafbara, and kibr with a sukoon on the ba is used for arrogance, and kibr with a fatha on the ba is used for old age. So kibr is used for old age. Wa qad balaghani al-kibr, it is said that he was about 120 years old at this time. وَامْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ, and my wife is barren. Now, the word imra is from the root letters mim, ra, hamza. And mar'an, muru'ah, is to be pleasant, to be beneficial. And mar'un is used for a man. And mar'ah, with a tambur buta, is used for a woman. So, my woman, meaning my wife, is aqir. Aqir is from the root letters ayn, qaf, ra. And aqara literally means to cut something. It is used for cutting the tendons or the muscles of the legs of a camel. Why? In order to slaughter the camel. Because remember, camel is a very huge animal. It's not a small goat that you can just put it down on the floor and slaughter the neck. No, it's a huge animal. So in order to slaughter the camel, what they have to do is that they have to cut the tendons of the legs, the tendon behind the knee, and when the camel falls, then they slaughter the camel. So aqara literally means what? To cut something. And from this, it is used for something that does not produce any result. So imagine a plant that has been cut off. Will it grow? No. Is it going to produce any more fruit? No. Any more leaves? No. So when something is cut off, it does not produce any results. So aqir is used for a barren woman or a woman who does not produce children, who does not give birth. So a woman who has never had any children. So وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ, my wife is a barren woman, meaning she's never given birth to anyone. We don't have any children. And on top of that, his wife was 88 years old at this time. She was also very old. He was old and she was also very old. So he is asking, how can I have a child when I have reached old age and my wife is barren? How is it going to happen? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ, Allah said, like that. What does it mean by like that? Meaning like how I have said. Like how you have been told that you will have a child and your child will possess these qualities. So just as I have told you, in the same way, you're going to have a child. كَذَلِكَ, likewise. اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah does whatever He wants, whatever He wills. It's not difficult for Allah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's matter. This is Allah's affair. Creating human beings is not in the hand of human beings. Creating human beings is not the hands of people. Whose decision is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who try to have children and they cannot have children. There are people who try not to have children and they have children. There are people who want particular characteristics in their children and their children don't have those characteristics at all. So when it comes to creating people, it's completely out of our hands. It's the affair of Allah. It's the matter of Allah. It's His decision. So, اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah does whatever He wills. It is His matter. He is mighty. He is able. He is powerful. And He can do it. So you don't have to doubt. After every salah, what dua is masnoon? What dua should we say? اللَّهُمَّ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ, O Allah, no one can stop what You give. لَا مَانِعَ. Who is manir? Someone who stops. So there is no one who can stop what You give. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ, and none can give what You withhold, what You stop from. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ, and the might of a mighty person cannot benefit him against you. So, at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has complete power and authority to execute His will. If He has said that He is going to give you a child, then you will. You cannot doubt it. Or you cannot be unsure. You cannot say that it's impossible. If Allah can create you, He can also create another human being. It's not difficult for Allah. Qala, He said. Who said? Zakariya alayhi salam said, Rabbi ja'al li aya. O my Lord, make a sign for me. A sign for what? A sign that I know that my wife has conceived. My wife has become pregnant. So there is nothing wrong in asking for a sign, in seeking surety. Now why did he ask for a sign? What's the reason? You see, when people are looking forward to having children, what happens? If the woman thinks that she's expecting, she'll go to the doctor and she'll find out. A simple pregnancy test and she'll find out. But in those days, it would take obviously a few weeks or a few months. And then eventually a person would be sure that they are pregnant. So he wanted to know from the beginning that give me a sign so that I know that my wife has become pregnant, so that I can be grateful to you, so that I can thank you from the very beginning. Because he had been waiting for a child since so long. And finally when Allah gave him the good news, he wanted to know as soon as possible so that he could do shukr. He could thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ آيَتُكَ, he said, your sign. What is your sign? Allah, that not. Allah is a combination of an and la. Your sign is that Allah تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ, that you will not speak to the people. For how long? ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ, for 3 days. أَيَّام is a plural of يَوْم. So you will not speak to the people for 3 days, إِلَّا رَمْزَ, except through gestures. The word رَمْز is from the root letters رَا مِيم زَي. And رَمْز is to signal with the hands, or it is to signal through the movement of the head. So for example, if a person is trying to communicate with the other and he is unable to speak, or the situation does not allow him to speak, then how will he communicate? By gestures. So for example, either he will point, let's say you're busy doing something, or you're on the phone and somebody asks you, where are the keys? What are you going to do? Just point towards the keys. Or you just gesture with your hand. You signal with your head. So either the hands are used or the head is used. Like for example, the Prophet ﷺ asked a young girl, where is Allah? And she pointed upwards. So this pointing upwards is what? Rams. So, illa ramza, you will not be able to speak to the people except through gestures. Now what does it mean by this? The sign was that Zakariya alayhi salam would be unable to speak to the people despite having the ability to speak. Meaning he did not become mute. Nothing happened to him physically. But he was unable to voice out any word, any statement, any sentence. For example, if a person gets a throat infection, what happens? They're perfectly fine. They maybe don't have any fever or anything like that. And they try to speak, they try to move their mouth, but no voice comes out. So, Allahu A'lam what happened to Zakariya alayhi salam, but something that made him unable to speak. But he was still allowed to communicate with people. How was he allowed to communicate with people? Through signs. Over here it says, ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ, 3 days. Elsewhere in the Qur'an we learned, ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّ, for 3 nights, though having no bodily defect. Meaning you will not suffer from any bodily defect, any physical defect, but you will not be able to speak to people for 3 nights. So here we read 3 days, elsewhere we read 3 nights. So what does it mean by that? 3 nights and 3 days, both, all together. What does this show? That the ability to speak is a big blessing of Allah. It's a huge blessing of Allah. And many times, we don't value this blessing. And we have this blessing, and what do? We abuse it. Either we scream at others, we shout at others, or we speak out abusive words, or we talk without thinking. And when we are unable to speak because of some reason, that it makes us realize how many extra useless conversations we have all the time. It's like once these women, they were talking a lot, and Aisha radhiyallahu anha told them, "Be quiet, give rest to your angels." So we talk so much useless conversations. On every little thing we have to say something or the other, and we don't give a pause to our poor throats, our voice box. And eventually what happens? We lose our voice for a few days. And that is when we realize that having the ability to speak is a huge blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Rahman we learn, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, Allama al-Qur'an, he taught the Qur'an, Khalaqa al-Insan, he created the human being, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, and he also taught him to speak, to express himself. So it's of the special mercy of Allah that human beings are able to communicate with each other. They're able to speak. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ, and remember your Lord. كَثِيرًا, much. Remember your Lord, much. When? Do dhikr of Allah, much. When? At what time? When you are unable to speak. So when? For the 3 days and nights, you will be unable to utter a word. At that time, what should you do? Feel bad? Feel sorry for yourself? Get frustrated? No. Do dhikr of Allah. And also, remember that when we get busy with talking about other things, then what happens? We are unable to do dhikr. Especially these days when we can send text messages and just call anybody at any time. All of the time we have a cell phone in our hands, in our bags. We don't get time to do dhikr. And when we cannot speak, then we get time to do dhikr. Then we wonder, okay, what can I do? Because we can't do without talking. So then we think of doing dhikr. So he was told, don't talk to people for 3 days. You will not be able to speak. And instead, what are you going to do? You're only going to do dhikr. Why? Because you are being given a huge blessing. A huge blessing is being gifted to you. And when you get a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should you do? Express gratitude. Do shukr. And part of that shukr, how will you express that shukr? By doing dhikr. Because dhikr includes tasbih. It includes salah. It includes saying alhamdulillah, subhanallah. It includes different adhkar. So, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا. Why? Because you're being given a huge blessing. وَسَبِّحْ, and glorify your Lord. How? When? بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِبْكَارِ, in the evening and also in the morning. The word عَشِي is from the root letters عَيْن شِينَ. And the word عَشِي is used for the time that is between noon and sunset. So from the time that the sun begins to decline until the end of the day. So after noon until the end of the day, until the sun has set. So this time, what salah does it include? Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib. All of these three salah are included. And the word Ibkar is from the root letters Ba, Kaf, Ra. And Ibkar is used for the time that is between dawn until morning. So from Fajr until the time of Duha. What is the time of Duha? When the sun's light is at the peak. It's before noon. And Ashi is a plural of the word Ashiyah with a tamurbuta at the end. And Ibkar is a plural of the word Bukra. Both are plural. So wasabbih bil'ashiyyi wal-ibkar. Now what does it mean by sabbih? Sabbih has been understood in two ways. That first of all, do tasbih. Say subhanallah. And secondly, sabbih has also been understood as salat. Prayer. Not dua, but salat. For us, for the Muslim ummah, we have 5 prayers in a day, 5 salawat in one day. We have a particular way of performing the salat. For them also, there was some form of salah. What exactly it was? Allahu A'lam. We don't know about it. But they had to pray some form of salah. So, wasabbih, first of all, do tasbih. And secondly, what does it mean? Perform salah. Because different words from the root letter seen baha are used for salah. For example, it is said, faraghtu min subhati, meaning min salati. Faraghtu, meaning I have done my subhati, meaning my salah. And why is salah called tasbih? Because what is tasbih? Tasbih includes glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at it, in salah, as soon as you say Allahu Akbar, what do you say? Subhanaka Allahumma. In your ruku', what do you say? Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. In your sujood, what do you say? Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. So salat includes tasbih. This is why salat is called tasbih. So sabbih bil'ashiyyi wal ibkar. So do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much? What does it mean by kathira? All the time. And especially do tasbih or perform the salah when? In the morning and in the evening. This part of the ayah, what does it show? That when we are being given a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should engage more and more in doing dhikr of Allah, in doing tasbih, in praying the salah. Why? Because doing dhikr, praying salah, saying the tasbih is what? Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah has given you a big blessing, thank Him, praise Him. The credit goes to Him, not to you. Because when we get a huge blessing, what do we think? We're so good now. Look at me, I achieved this. I have this now. I'm so proud of it. But when you do dhikr, what does it show? That Allah is the one who gave it to me. All praise and thanks to who? To Allah. He is the giver. I am only the receiver. He gave me, I've only received it. I didn't make it myself. I didn't get this myself. Allah gave it to me. Also, this shows to us that we should decrease our talking and increase in our dhikr. We can only increase in our dhikr when we decrease in our talking. I don't mean don't communicate with people. Don't talk to people, they're talking to you and you're just saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, you don't reply to them. No. Speak to people. But also set a time for doing dhikr. Also set a time. Also take some time out for doing dhikr. You know how during the day we have a certain time fixed for phone calls? That at this time I'm going to check all my voicemail. This time I'm going to return the calls. Similarly, we should also fix a time for doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one more thing that must be noticed over here is that he was told, do dhikr of Allah at what time? Bil-ashiyyi wal-ibkar. In the evening and the morning. So this shows to us that a person should engage in doing dhikr at these times in particular. Because it is more virtuous to do dhikr at these times, especially tasbih. Because if you begin the day with the dhikr of Allah, and if you end the day with the dhikr of Allah, what does that mean? That even during the day, you will do dhikr of Allah. If you begin the day with the dhikr of Allah, you end it with the same, then throughout the day also, you will do the same. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is a hadith that is mentioned in Abu Dawood, I prefer to sit in the company of those people who remain busy in doing the dhikr of Allah from when? From Fajr up until the sun has completely risen. So I prefer doing this to the noble act of setting free 4 Arab slaves. If I had the opportunity to free 4 slaves, and not just slaves, but Arab slaves, because obviously, who was he amongst? Arabs. So I would prefer to do what? Sit in the company of those people who remember Allah. Similarly, I prefer sitting with the group of those who remain busy in remembrance of Allah after the Asr Salah up to sunset, from Asr until sunset, to the noble act of setting free 4 Arab slaves. So what does this show? The importance of doing dhikr in the morning and in the evening. What time in the morning? After Fajr, before sunrise. What time in the evening? After Asr, before sunset. And these are the times when we say our morning and evening adhkar. So Zakariya alayhi salam was told especially that do tasbih, remember Allah at what time? In the morning and also in the evening. One more thing that must be noticed over here is that Zakariya alayhi salam was told that you shall not, or you will not be able to speak to people except through gestures. But at the same time, what should you do? You should be busy in remembering Allah. So it's possible that sometimes you're doing dhikr and somebody asks you something and you have to respond to them. So how can you respond to them? Through a gesture, through a sign. Because many times we leave dhikr. Why? Because we have to talk to people. For instance, after the Fard Salah, we know about the importance and benefit of reciting Ayatul Kursi, of saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, of saying the particular adhkar, especially after Fajr and after Maghrib, the special adhkar after these 2 salawat. We know about the importance and reward of all of these adhkar. But many times we leave them. Why? Somebody comes and asks us something, and we have to stop and speak to them and tell them a whole story. Whereas we can tell them with the gesture of our hands, I'm doing dhikr, just point your hand or just lift up your hands so that they can see your hand, they can see you moving your fingers, and let them wait for a minute or two. Let them wait for 5 minutes. What's the big deal? But many times we lose these opportunities just because we have to tell somebody about something. We can't wait. During our salah also, we're thinking about what we're going to tell people, what we're going to post online. And as soon as we're done, that's it. Go online quickly and post this. So sometimes we really have to hold ourselves back and focus on doing dhikr. We learn Surah Qaf, Ayah 39, Allah says, وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ الْغُرُوبِ. And exalt Allah with praise of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting. We learn about Dawood alayhi salam in Surah Sad, Ayah 18. Allah said, "Inna sakharna al-jibala ma'ahu yusabbihna bil-'ashiyyi wal-ishraq." Indeed, we subjected the mountains to praise with him, exalting Allah in the late afternoon and after sunrise. Bil-'ashiyyi wal-ishraq. Also, we learn in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 42, Allah says, وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. All of you, O believers, exalt him morning and asil, afternoon. So we see the importance of doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially tasbih, when? In the morning and in the evening. Because whatever you do in the morning and evening, you will do it throughout the day. Let's listen to the recitation of these ayahs.
فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى مصدقا بكلمة من الله وسيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين. قال رب أنى يكون لي غلام وقد بلغني الكبر وامرأتي عاقر قال كذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء. قال رب اجعل لي آية. قال آيتك ألا تكلم الناس 3 أيام إلا رمزا واذكر ربك كثيرا وسبح بالعشي والإبكار.